The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion. The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to another session of our program, The Clear Criterion. Today, inshallah, we intend to complete the commentary of Surah Al-Fatiha, not the commentary of Surah Al-Fatiha that is possible, but the commentary of Surah Al-Fatiha that we have allocated or that we have specified for our particular program. There is great depth in the commentary of the Quran. In fact, every verse can have more than one commentary at times. And also, you might remember me quoting the statement of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, how he could fill 70 camel loads of books or scrolls or whatever you want to say, or however you want to think, in terms of just the commentary, just the exegesis of Surah Al-Fatiha. So our purpose in this program is to give enough for some meaning of the verses, some related content or some famous points of commentary, but also we try to move along in terms of the actual Quran itself, so that there is more attentiveness and people actually see our progression through the Quran. So it will hopefully over time it will speed up. Sometimes it will slow down because certain verses will require more discussion. So inshallah, our intention is to complete Surah Al-Fatiha today before we move on to our next verse, or the verse we got to in the surah, as is part of our routine, a point of excellence about invoking blessings in favor of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. It is reported that he said sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, "Your name and your identity is given to me or presented to me, so send blessings upon me with the best of words." Encouragement for us, one that we know, or we've been reminded again, that our names are presented, or our names are mentioned in the prophetic court. So if we want our names to be mentioned in the prophetic court, but also if we truly understand the meaning, one understanding is that we try our best in invoking blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam with the best of words, keeping this in mind that the more the different ways in which we express this prayer, this supplication of blessings, the more pleasing it will be for our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Whether we decide to recite different sections of Dalailul Khairat, whether we decide to change the different types of we read different types of salawat that have been written by the ulama or specified in the books of the noble scholars, we try to create variety and deep-rooted feeling of devotion for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah accept our good intentions. Moving on to the tafsir, or continuing with the commentary of Surah Al-Fatiha. The next verse of Surah Al-Fatiha, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us onto the straight path. Here we want to understand, or we want to be reminded of what the straight path represents. This Surah Al-Fatiha in its entirety is a supplication, and this particular part of the supplication is where we seek guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to be on the straight and narrow, as is often said in expression. But one common or one famous meaning that is given of the straight path is the straight path of creed. Yes, aqidah. A creed comes first in all matters. If the creedal, the tenets of faith related to creed, if we are sound in this respect, then at least we know that our iman, our faith is sound. Actions that complement our faith, or that are part of our obligations as part of our faith, they come after the acceptance and the true affirmation and the heartfelt acceptance of faith. So first and foremost, the straight path is the path of the correct creed in the religion. And this is the path of all the prophets, alayhimu salam. This is also interpreted as the path of Islam, meaning the straight path of Islam, the path upon which the Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, our pious predecessors, the awliya, the saintly figures, the chosen, beloved creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the path that they followed, this is all the path, all of them form the straight path, their teachings, their way, their manner, their instructions. And this is also, in other words, the path of the Ahlus Sunnah, that this path of the prophets, the path of the companions, of the scholars and the pious predecessors, if we generalize it, then we can say that this is the path rather of the Ahlus Sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. O you who believe, fear Allah and be with the truthful. The truthful are the people of faith. They are truthful because they accept the truth, and we follow their way because they are rightly guided. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a famous hadith mentioned in Ibn Majah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my nation will never gather upon misguidance. And when you see conflict among people, be necessarily with the majority, the big group of Muslims, the mainstream Muslims, the orthodox, the way of the Muslims. This was the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A few important points. This famous hadith mentioned in Ibn Majah among other sources. One, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that my nation, as a majority, will not gather upon misguidance. And the majority of this nation, in terms of our tradition, our scholarly tradition, respect and honor all the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. The majority of this ummah has always accepted the ways of the four imams in different parts of the world. You have those who follow the Hanafi, Maliki, Shafi'i, Hanbali way. And that is only the methodology in terms of jurisprudence. In terms of aqidah and creed, they are one and the same. Even detailed aspects of creed that have been codified by respected imams. There is a consensus. There is a general acceptance in the ummah. The ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, in a general sense, has preserved historical and religious and sacred sites that belong to our history. They did not destroy and desecrate the sites that belong to the beloved creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or had some nisbah, some attribution to the beloved creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why even in Palestine, in Jerusalem today, in Masjid al-Aqsa today, you will find graves of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and they are marked, and we know who is buried there. This is why around the world we will find the resting places of certain prophets. This is why the preservation is something which has been a part. Traditionally, this ummah has celebrated and commemorated the birth and life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. From personal experience, I can share with you this, that on a visit to Masjid al-Aqsa, we witnessed how every Friday morning they had a maulid in the masjid, in Masjid al-Aqsa. Now, Masjid al-Aqsa is an example of a place that has preserved historical sites, and sacred sites to some extent are preserved or have been protected to a certain degree. And the Muslims who are there, who live there, they follow the way of the Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. They follow the way of the Orthodox Muslims. So this, many of the confusions and many of the elements of misrepresentation or misunderstanding or error in interpretation, it comes from splinter groups. Groups that have broken away from the mainstream orthodox way of Islam, the Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah, and the tradition of this religion. And the Prophet ﷺ, he urged the Muslims that when a time comes of conflict, when there are people who are arguing with each other or there is conflict among the people, stay with the majority of the Muslims, because the majority will not gather upon misguidance. And a reference to these splinter groups, or these groups that will break away from the main rightly guided majority of the Muslims, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, it's a famous hadith in Tirmidhi, that the Israelites, they broke into 72 groups or sects, and my nation, they will be divided into 73. And of those 73, one will be the group of salvation, and that is the majority, the Ahlus Sunnah, the orthodox way of Islam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam foretold that there will be splinter groups. And remember, it's not a case of all coming or emerging in one era. This is over our history. And throughout our history, there have been groups that have come. The Khawarij came and they opposed Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And you had the Mu'tazila, you had other people, the Qadariya. You had different groups coming over in our history that broke away from the main orthodox way or the teaching of the mainstream teaching of the Muslims or the mainstream tradition. And this will continue to happen until this prophecy is fulfilled. As long as we follow the mainstream Ahlus Sunnah way, inshallah, we will be protected from the hidden deception and the misconceptions and all those elements that will take us away from guidance. How can guidance be attained? Well, one way of attaining guidance is through one's understanding and contemplating and reflecting on creation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has instructed us from time to time to reflect, to explore the world, to see, and also to learn lessons. Many of those who had sovereignty or claimed sovereignty on this earth, today not a trace of theirs is found. Civilizations completely gone. No one has even discovered any trace of them. Theories are mentioned. Maybe some markings in some mountain somewhere remote, but nothing that gives a whole picture of that civilization. And we're just trying to piece together the information that we have. Many have come and gone, and many will come and go. For us as believers, we must understand, or we must remind ourselves, what have I done? What is my legacy? How will I be remembered when I leave this world? Not that we do things so that we are remembered, but if we become believers who not only adhere to the Quran, the ways of the Quran and Sunnah, but we help other people, and we leave, we have a lasting effect on our communities, inshallah, after we are gone, they will pray for us and they will remember us too. And Dawat-e-Islami, through its different departments, is having a lasting impression on whole communities, whether it's in terms of the charity, in terms of the education, in terms of the teaching of the Quran, in terms of the traveling from country to country, city to city, to spread the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah. This has a lasting impression on people. And this is something that we should aspire to achieve, that we do something in life that is of benefit for others. Another point, or another way we can attain guidance, is one was using our apparent senses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, and in line with that, using our senses, our perception, to reflect and contemplate on in terms of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, learning from what we see. But also, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent previous scriptures for the guidance of previous communities, we have the Quran. And the Quran is our guidance. So we understand the Quran through those who have an understanding of the religion, and through this we attain guidance. And linked to this, just as previous scriptures were a means of guidance for previous communities, previous prophets were guides for their nations. And for us, until the Day of Judgment, the best example of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So if we want guidance, it's his sunnah. We are Ahl Sunnah. We don't say his hadith. Hadith is a primary source, but from the hadith, what we act upon is the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning that which is applicable in terms of our action and our adherence to the prophetic way. So, following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also a means of guidance. As far as this verse is concerned, when we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us onto the straight path, there are some points to deduce from here, that every believer should pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for steadfastness upon the straight path. This is one point that we learn from this verse. We should pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we remain steadfast upon the straight path. And there is a dua from the Quran which we can also express. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He does not cause our hearts to turn, to deviate after granting us guidance. We want our hearts to be firm in the religion. We want the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this verse, this was a dua, it's from the Quran and was expressed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu also reports, this hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would often express a dua by saying, Ya muqallib al-qulub, sabbit qalbi ala deenik. He would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O one who turns hearts, make my heart firm upon your religion. This is the Prophet ﷺ asking for his heart to be firm in terms of the deen, to teach us. And the Sahaba, they actually asked the Prophet ﷺ about this. And they said that, Ya Rasulullah, we believe in you and we believe in what you have brought. Do you still have fear for us? And the Prophet ﷺ said, yes. So our Prophet ﷺ expressed that he had fear for his companions, meaning generally his nation, in terms of the condition of their hearts. And hence he was teaching us this dua. Because, dear viewers, the heart changes. It's called qalb because it changes. And that's in essence what it does. Sometimes we're feeling very excited about something and we have a lot of passion to do something. And moments later, or later on the same day, a few hours later maybe, we're feeling downhearted and depressed. And we need something to energize us and to motivate us again. This is the nature of the heart. And the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum expressed this as well, that sometimes such thoughts, they said to the Prophet, such thoughts come to mind, we can't even bring these thoughts to our tongues. So this, and the Prophet said to them, this is a sign of faith. So the heart is the essence of piety. If we're able to make our hearts pure, purify our intentions, then everything else will be a lot easier. So again, we stress this point that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that our hearts are firm in terms of adherence or following of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another point we can deduce from this verse is that after the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should supplicate in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But after ibadah, there should be an element of dua or supplication specifically. And often we see after the prayer, we raise our hands as a congregation to supplicate. And this is the way we should supplicate. This leads me on to the third point, that not only should the supplication be for oneself, it should be for everyone collectively. If we look at the verse, what is the verse saying? Guide us. It's not saying guide me. And there is an ishara or indication here. So the third point here being that when we raise our hands in supplication, let us not just pray for ourselves, but we always pray for our other Muslim brothers and sisters, for the whole of humanity. Those who don't have iman, Allah give them iman. And those who have faith, Allah give them steadfastness in this faith, and Allah give them the ability to be beacons of light and beacons of hope and beacons of piety. That not only do they follow a righteous way, they inspire others to become righteous. That Allah creates such passion in us that people are inspired by our endeavors. We are not worthy of acclaim, or we are not worthy of fame and special recognition. But if Allah chooses us to be a means, a sabab, a means for others to come closer to His religion, then Allah chooses whomsoever He wills, and it is not our doing, or it is not our personal good that led to that. It is the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Moving on towards the end, صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. In the end, so just before this we asked, guide us onto the straight path. What is that straight path? The straight path is being is mentioned in the next verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the path of those upon whom you have bestowed favor. So we are asking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us onto the path of those upon whom Allah has bestowed favor. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. Not of those who have earned your wrath, nor of those who have gone astray. So we seek the path of those upon whom Allah has bestowed His favor, and we seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the path of those who have earned the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with whom Allah is displeased, and we seek refuge and we seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the path of those who have gone astray. So let us just go through these three aspects of the verse. The path of those who are favored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, we mentioned in the past, the best kind of tafsir of the Quran is tafsirul Quran bil Quran, when the Quran itself explains a verse. So let us look at another verse which explains the favor that some chosen creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَن يُتِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here that whosoever obeys Allah and the Messenger, he shall be with those upon whom Allah has bestowed favor. And who are they specifically? They are the prophets, the exceedingly truthful, the martyrs, and the righteous. So it is their way that we are asking for. We are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us onto the way of this, of these chosen people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then towards the end of the verse, Allah declares what excellent companions they are. Who would not want the companionship of prophets? Who would not want the companionship of the siddiqeen, of the exceedingly truthful, those who have the greatest rank after prophets? Who would not want the company of the martyrs, and who would not want the company of the righteous people? So we deduce from here that we follow the path of the righteous, the pious predecessors, because they are those who have received the grace, the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Fakhruddin Razi, he mentions, he links this point to how a shaykh trains his disciple, and the disciple needs to follow the instruction of the shaykh, because the shaykh, not only does he have knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him that insight. He's able to guide the disciple in terms of how he can go through the different challenges of life and different trials of life to be a truly righteous person. How he can purify his intention and beautify his devotion in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So young people can be very zealous and they can claim to know and understand things, but an experienced or a knowledgeable mind, a mentor, a guide is often needed to guide us through the more difficult phases of life. We one tafsir is that those who have earned the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the Jews, and those who have gone astray are the Christians. Another tafsir of this from Imam Razi is that the first group refers to those who err in action or who perform, who commit bad actions, and the second group of those who have gone astray are those who have gone astray in terms of their creed. Another point to mention towards the end, Ameen is Sunnah to mention. It's not part of the Suratul Fatiha in Salah. According to the Hanafi position, we say Ameen slowly. We do say it, it's the Sunnah, but it's not considered to be part of Surah Al-Fatiha. And also, it's not actually considered to be a word of the Quran, although the meaning is may Allah accept, or it's an expression used to seek acceptance from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We pray to Allah that the little that we have shared in the commentary of the Quran is accepted in His court. And we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us insights and grants us the understanding of the Quran and the passion to act in accordance with it. Ameen bijahi nabil ameen. Please keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion. The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion.